Welcome to Baby Boomers Live, the show about all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. All things hot and all things not. News, reviews, interviews, chat, sex, and what's next. And here are your hosts, Reefa Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and Easy Dad, Jim Zulie.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Reefa.
Well, happy August, Jim. How are you today?
Well, I'm enjoying my August. I mean, I'm another year older. I think I'm, 37 now? Trying to hold on to that.
I was going to say, when's your birthday? I know it's this month.
Yeah, August 6th, actually.
No, you had it already. Happy belated birthday.
August 6th, 1940. Boy, when you say anything in the 40s, it sounds so long ago, you know?
It really does.
Well,
I was thinking today in the 1990s, I never would have thought about 2015. It wouldn't have even crossed my mind. And here we are over halfway through.
No, we had movies from the future, and they were like, what was it, 1989 or something? remember the movies? They would be titled, and the title of the movie was like 2000 or something, and that was way in the future. And you couldn't picture what it would be like, you know?
Well, we certainly aren't in the space cars that they promised us, and I wish we were with all this L.A. traffic. But
could
that's
imagine,
a whole nother subject, so let's move on to our hot topic.
Oh, yeah, could you imagine in the 60s? Could you imagine in the 60s, gas would be almost $5 a gallon? You wouldn't believe it.
No, not even. I remember a quarter a gallon. But let's move on to
hot
topic.
Oh, yeah.
Ripped from the headlines. Today's hot topic.
Well, I'm a little agitated this morning, Jim. My hot topic is Target and removing gender labels from aisles and toys. They're no longer going to say that, I guess, dolls are girls' toys and trucks are boys' toys. And I get that. I don't have a problem with that. I was a tomboy. I played with all kinds of, you know, trucks and stuff when I was a kid. But I'm still a girly girl, okay? And I think we're going a little bit too far with some of this unisex stuff. And they're going to remove the pink paper and the blue paper. And I don't know if they're going to combine the toys or what, but that's the big news. And they're going to do it in every department except for, like, the clothing department. And the only reason they're not doing it there is because they say, and it's true, men's clothing or boys' clothing is fitted differently than girls' clothing. So they are going to keep those separate. But I'm a girly girl. I like walking down the aisles to just have girly stuff. And I don't want boys. I mean, when I was younger, I thought that men grew up to be men with certain traits. But I've come to learn from my grandchildren that no. Men, as boys, have already got these traits. They're born with them. So they go racing down aisles. They run into walls. They fall down on the ground. They do all kinds of stuff that us girls from the very early stage aren't into. We're the talkers.
Yeah.
And so we want to be on our own little aisle sometimes, you know. I don't know. And the other part of that whole thing is they also have these bathrooms now where men and women share bathrooms, and you're in different stalls, but everybody uses the same bathroom. And I'm a little put off by looking down and seeing a size 12 men's shoe in the stall next to me. Might not bother other people.
Yeah.
But I think we're going a little bit too far with all of this. I like being a girly girl. I like men being macho, manly men, and I'm okay with stuff being divided like that. So that's my hot topic today. I don't know if we can do anything to, probably if you protest it, it's politically incorrect and you'll get in trouble if you're protesting it. So if you're upset about me not liking it, do not contact me, okay? Because I just feel the way I feel. I'm a girl and I want to be girly, and there's some things, you know, just need to be separated.
Well, the commercials recently, I remember, were so diverse. You probably remember them. The girl commercial was Tiny Tumbles and Little Baby Squeaks or whatever, you know, Rolls Her Eyes and the Little Pink Stove and all that stuff. And then they switched over to the guys' commercials, and G.I. Joe was running and shooting and jumping and, you know.
Exactly, and I think it needs to stay that way. But you got to go to your hot topic, Jim.
Well, I'm going to touch on settling down. In an article I found in, excuse me, an article I found in topretirement.com, it had 10 reasons why retirement for baby boomers will be different from our parents. If you consider yourself a baby boomer, chances are that your parents retired in a community where they spent most of their lives, and so on and so forth. Well, now things are different. Baby boomers are more adventurous. They have been willing to take chances a little bit more than their parents. They do not want to be sedimentary, and they want to look around for something that's different, something that's a little bit more exciting. Well, they have 10 kind of situations. Baby boomers do not want to be labeled as old. These are some of the different tests they had and so on and so forth. They do not want to be labeled as old. They do not want to be labeled as living at old folks' home. More will move farther away than where they live now, not like in the olden days. They want to get out. More baby boomers will live in two places at the same time. And a lot want to go to a warmer place as a secondary home. Baby boomers will take more chances and be more adventurous than their parents. And the types of retirement communities are becoming a little bit different. They're more updated. They have more golf and updated sports and more active sports than shuffleboard. Retirement communities will be more specialized, and culture centers are going to be more of the trend. Living in cities will be more prevalent. So more baby boomers will work. Only 50% of today's working adults believe they will have enough to live comfortably. So find yourself, find information, okay? Go to our archive shows and find out how you can live in a better retirement.
Absolutely, and that brings us to our first commercial.
That's right.
Hey, guys, what's up? My name is Eric Ezizuli. I'm a host, motivational speaker, and social media networking strategist. CEO of Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks. Are you done doing it the hard way? Well, come do it the easy way. Check us out at easywaybroadcasting.com. That's letter E, letter Z. We offer promotional PR marketing services, media outreaching, social media networking, fundraising. We have 7 different divisions, from TV and film to music to events to fundraising to media to PR to marketing. We're a one-stop shop. Check us out at easywaybroadcasting.com. That's letter E, letter Z. And our Facebook is Easy Way Broadcasting, Easy Way Broadcast on Twitter, and Easy Way Broadcasting on Instagram. Follow the movement, and remember, hashtag Easy Way. If you're a like-minded individual looking to do positive things, check us out. Hey guys, what's up? It's your favorite host, social media networking strategist, and motivational speaker, Eric Ezizuli. Okay, so check this out. Now you can connect directly with your favorite celebrities, get your own personal video message from myself and other celebrities, including actors, musicians, sports stars, and many more, including stars from Star Trek, Star Wars, wrestling, the NFL, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, and much more. Interested? Check out www.celebvm.com. That's www.celebvm.com. Or hit me up on Twitter, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y. I'll hook you up.
And we're back.
We're back. We're back. Yeah, I sometimes repeat some of my reports, Rita, but, you know, it takes a few reports to sink in, and we have the archive shows to help our listeners with their finances and health and retirement and so on. And it's something you got to stop and think of where you're at now, and is it working? You know what I mean?
It's true. Now, do we have our guest?
We have a super interesting guest, Jeff Feinhold. Jeff, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on. That sounds
Hi, Jeff.
Good. I've been listening. It sounds great.
Thanks
awesome.
For taking time. Good, cool. Thanks for taking some time and jumping on our old folks show here. Trying to stay young.
I think it's
young.
Funny. I think it's apropos that yesterday I was playing soccer and slipped and threw my, just whacked my back like crazy.
Welcome
Isn't
to the
it
show.
A shame that we can't do what we used to do? You
right.
know, we think we can, but
so I could barely move. I could barely move this morning. I thought, this is so apropos for me
yeah.
doing a baby boomer show later.
Well,
and I'm sitting on the couch with about five pillows stacked up so I'm almost standing up. I'm kind of half sitting down, standing up. So if you hear a moan or a groan, it's not anything you said. It's that I turned funny
well, see,
while I was trying
see, Jeff,
to talk.
Now you'll pass the test. When I used to say, well, you can tell you're a baby boomer when it takes you two tries to get up off the couch. And it sounds like it's going to take you two tries to get up.
I'm not sure I can get off the couch.
Now, Jeff, we've kind of followed the same kind of path here because you were in the original Jesus Christ Superstar, which
right.
was one of it still is my all-time favorite musical.
You're kidding. Wow.
I know.
Cool.
I absolutely loved it. I mean, I can sing all the lyrics. Don't even start. I didn't get to see you in it because I didn't see it on Broadway. I saw Teddy Neely.
Yeah, Teddy, yeah. He was my understudy on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
And then when we moved the show out to the West Coast, he went to the West Coast. And I got into the show kind of backwards the way I got in. I wound up signing management to Robert Stigwood and Peter Brown. And Peter had set up Apple Records for the Beatles, and he managed the Beatles. And Robert, I guess, had helped manage the Beatles for a while. And they managed the Bee Gees and Eric Clapton and all these people. Well, I got signed to his management, and I had a solo record deal at Columbia Records at that time. And then they asked me to understudy the part of Jesus for a world tour, a rock and roll tour. And the lead singer from Deep Purple was the one that was going to do that. Well, he got to where he couldn't do it for some reason at the last minute. And so they asked me if I would do it. And I went out, and I couldn't believe the crowds. I mean, it was crazy what was, you know. And then the album, I guess, Superstar sold 12 million double albums.
12 million, yeah.
In a year, which back in those days was kind of unheard of. And then they asked me to go to Broadway, and I didn't want to go because I was very young and stupid, I guess, or just naive. But when I was on the road, we were drawing 20,000, 30,000 at a soccer stadium in Toronto. We drew 135,000. And the Broadway theater, the Mark Hellinger, only held 2,500. And I knew it was going to be suits and ties. And I didn't really want to do it. I said, I enjoy the big crowd. But they talked me into it. And then, you know, the rest is infamy, I guess.
Well, that's just
Amazing.
It. And I know at the time I wasn't a Christian. And from what I understand, you weren't either.
No, I was about as far away from that as you can get. I was not into God. I figured if there was a God, I basically didn't like him. Because the stuff that had happened to me, I blamed on him. Because I thought, you know, if God's ruling the universe, then why am I so messed up, you know? It's like people like to blame everybody else, especially God, for their own problems, which was me. And, you know, I was just typical of the baby boomers. or at least a lot of the baby boomers. I mean, it was drugs, free sex, and rock and roll. And, you know, I love the baby boomers. I love the whole generation. I mean, it's a great group, but we really, I mean, we botched it in a lot of ways.
Big time.
I mean, let's be real about it. We did not hand our kids, you know, a better place. And our parents handed us a better place. I mean, they went to war in World War II, and they really suffered. I mean, I don't know how many people died. Wasn't it like a million men of our young men died in World War II or something? Handed us a better place. And
yeah,
we just turned into a bunch of brats. We just turned into a bunch of brats that we're gonna drop out and turn on, you know, and just... And now we're throwing our backs out.
Yeah, Reef and I were talking about it. We were taking guests, and I remember when I was driving, I had a car club back in the 60s, and I was guessing at the 68 category. The Black Sabbath was, that's about 68, right?
Right, that's when they started, yeah.
Yeah, and...
were you with Black Sabbath?
1985. I got a phone call from Don Arden, that's Cheryl Osborne's father, who was managing Black Sabbath. And he called me up, I think it was in November or December of 84. And he said, man, we got a tape of yours. And he said, it was kind of insulting. He said, we thought you died because we hadn't heard from you for a while. And he goes, come on down to the office. I want to meet with you. So he said, Tony Iommi is, you know, thinking about doing an album, maybe you doing it. So I went down to the office and met Don. And Don, he's a tough British guy. I mean, he came from the East End of London. He was, you know, he's a tough guy. But he's very sweet, too. But in any event, Don said, to be honest with you, he said, we just wanted to see you, see what you look like. Because it's been a while since we've seen, you know, you in the press or this, that. And he said, wow, you look great. So he scheduled dinner with Tony and me over at the hotel, the famous one on Sunset. I'm trying to think. What's the name of that celebrity hotel on Sunset?
Oh, the Chateau Marmont? Is that the one on Sunset?
No.
Website? Yeah.
I think
well, one of them.
It starts with a K or whatever. But anyway, I went over
all
there.
All of this is part of being a baby boomer. We can't remember things like that.
Yeah, I don't
but
really
you went over and met with them.
I don't have a problem with that much, but what was I talking about?
Yeah.
Where
so you went over and met with them?
Yeah. The problem is, though, I haven't gone, you know, into forgetting things from, you know, getting older here. I've been forgetting things ever since the big drug days, you know, back in the 70s, 60s, 70s. But, yeah, I got together with Tony. And
did that. We did a lot of drug, sex, and rock and roll back then.
We've got that
and
on
what
the show
did it
this
get
time,
us? You know, a lot of
communicable
diseases and you know, blowing our minds out.
We got a thing if you have a problem with the memory. You won't believe this, but I saw the show, and they said one way to improve your memory, they said, how many cards do you think you remember out of a deck of cards? They flipped them over, and people were doing 5 and 7. And this guy started this little course. He could do 7 cards. At the end of a month, he could do 52 cards. And you know what one of the main things to improve his mind was and exercise your mind was? Juggling. Could you believe that?
Juggling?
Yeah, get a couple tennis balls and start juggling. That'll help. Yeah, it's
really?
Dexterity and remembering how to move your hands and all that. It's just
I haven't started any kind of memory stuff, weird stuff yet. And I shouldn't say yet because I'm not going to confess it.
Right, exactly.
So I was in the studio with Tony for 6 months, and finally in May, I had it. I had just gotten clean and sober, and I'm not going to cast aspersions on anyone else, but let's just say that was not a very safe environment.
Yeah.
When you're trying to get straight, you know. And we parted ways in May. And then he went back with Ozzy Osbourne, and they did, I think, one of the Texas Jam or some, or for that thing for, what was it, U.S., some kind of big thing for the aid, you know, world aid or whatever it was.
Right.
And yeah, that was cool. And then I went and toured the world and had been asked by Nikki Cruz to tour all of South America and sing for him. And he's like the Billy Graham of South America. I mean, he draws these monster crowds. So yo hablo español y canta también. So I sing and speak a little Spanish. So I went down and toured that. So hit every country in South America and did all soccer stadiums. And it was really fun. And it was my first foray into doing anything other than, you know, Broadway, rock and roll, blah, 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 Black Sabbath. But
I think we got sober right about the same time. Like I said, our lives have kind of paralleled. I think we got sober about the same time. And lo and behold, I look up and you're on TBN.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, I was on TBN and it... you know, we had some really huge ratings. I mean, it was crazy. I had a TV show on there for about 10 years, and we had my show had double the ratings of VH1 for MTV. So, you know, we were drawing crowds, and then it was on 80 satellites around the world. So when I went to South America, for instance, we were seeing 100,000 people a night coming out to the soccer stadiums. It was just outrageous, you know, the stuff that happened. And I kind of fell into it kind of by accident. I mean, I wasn't really trying to do it. A lot of people think, well, you must have been, you know, wanting to go do all this kind of stuff. I really didn't. And when I was invited on the 700 Club with Pat Robertson, I thought, you know, God bless Pat, but I thought, we don't have anything in common whatsoever. I mean, we didn't, I mean, you know, and I still had hair down to my waist, you know, and I,
you
even
did.
If I pulled it, yeah, even if I pulled it back in a ponytail, it was still hanging down to the waist. And I freaked Pat out before we went on the air, I think, because he had Ben Kinslow take over.
Well, what was it that threw you on the 700 Club? Where did that door open from?
What's that?
Well, how did you wind up, you know, getting out of the 700 Club? What happened to, you know, move
they
you over there?
They kept inviting me. They kept inviting me and asking me to come on. And people around me were pressuring me to do it. And I said, I don't want to do it. And I was thinking that I was going to keep doing rock and roll and just tithe off of it. And, you know, that was my thing. But people just kept on me, and then finally I said, okay, I'll do 700 Club. So I flew out to do it, but right before I went on the air, they said, 5 minutes, and you're on, right? And Pat Robertson came over and shook my hand, and he looked at me a little funny, but of course he knew I was going to be on. And when I shook his hand, I looked at him, I said, hey, I said, does my hair look okay? I was just kidding. I said, how's my hair look? And he got this weird look on his face and walked off. And then the next thing I knew, Ben Kinslow, they said, Ben is going to be your host.
Wow.
I said the sinner's prayer with Ben Kinslow on the 700 Club. That was my salvation experience.
Wow.
So, like I said, we have kind of a parallel life. And I have to thank you for being obedient to be on the 700 Club and TBN, because as someone coming out of the same type of lifestyle, I was in rock and roll, but I was in acting and, you know, and to see someone that I could identify with really helped me during those years. So even though you kind of fell into it, it really was a blessing, I'm sure, to not just me, but lots of baby boomers who had gone through that drug, sex, and rock and roll and thought, how am I ever going to fit into the church and turn on TBN and see this long-haired guy that you had been listening to? And
yeah,
you're like, oh, okay, it's cool, I can do this.
So,
well, you know, the bottom line is, you know, you go where there's peace, and the sex, drugs, rock and roll and all that, the outcome of all that, you know, it's not that relaxing and peaceful. The outcome of living a faith-based life is just a lot more tranquil. I mean, it's very
simple.
Well,
you know, the drugs will bite you. And
oh, yeah,
it got to the point with me and a lot of my friends where we just got so paranoid, we couldn't function. You know, I was having panic attacks all the time.
Yeah,
nobody knew it because I hid it by being drunk
right.
or stoned.
Exactly.
But the more I did drugs, the worse the panic attacks got. But when
yeah.
I went on the 700 Club, I didn't want to do Christian work. And I'll tell you, don't ever tell God what you're not going to do. But
if you want to give God a laugh, tell him your plans, right?
Right.
Exactly. So what are you into now, Jeff? Because we're really out of time, but we want to know how people can keep up with what you're doing now, and what are you doing? Is your book still in print? Your biography still in print?
No. I pulled the book, and I thought it was the thing to do, because to be honest with you, I'm being a little open here, but right after the book came out, my wife left me, and it really whacked me, and I thought, I'm pulling the book, because in the book I was talking about all this stuff, but I just thought, nah, I'm gonna pull this for a while. But the book, it sold 160,000 units in 2 months, so it was really taken off. But people still buy the book online some. But yeah, when that happened, you know, sometimes you got to back up and reassess your life and see what it is that you're doing and where you're heading and what you want. And when I got divorced, that really made me pause and take a look at everything that was going on. And it's funny, because yesterday in church I was praying, and all this time later, you know, 15 years later, whatever it was, the Lord, I really felt yesterday in church, I felt the Lord saying, I pulled you out because you were really being encircled at that time, and the enemy was really on you. And, of course, greater is he who's in us than he who is in the world. And sometimes God
That's right.
will pull us out for a period of time, just the way, a captain or a general gets time off in the fight. And I feel that I've been kind of hanging out and enjoying life and on a ranch up here in Colorado, and Newport Beach, a place down in Newport Beach in Balboa Island. And
you're
going to
be,
right,
you know,
now,
Jeff, you're going to be criticized, you know, and so on and so forth. And Eric's done the same thing, you know, Eric, and that's my son. And he jumped into Hollywood, and we dealt with all that. And he just wants to bring God to Hollywood. And you
certainly a noble cause.
You're familiar with the easy way, right?
Oh yeah, and you know there are a lot of Christians in Hollywood. It's just if our career means more to us at this point, perhaps, than it should, or if the career is just. If people are very focused on their career in Hollywood, it's very difficult for them to stand up and say that they believe in God and they believe
That's
in
right.
Christ. And but you know, the churches are full in Hollywood. People are going
Oh, absolutely. So are you doing anything now that we should know about, or are you on Facebook or
I'm on Facebook. I've been raising funds for warriordown.com to help return canines from the war zone once they're retired back to the United States, and to help the families of fallen soldiers. So I've been doing that, and I still do concerts some. I just did a concert, two or three concerts in Austin, Texas, a couple weeks ago. And now I'm going to do another one this weekend. I'll be doing one in Colorado, so I still do some stuff, but I really...
You're keeping busy? You're a good example of a baby boomer, Jeff. We need that. That's what Grace and I are looking for. People like you that are baby boomers that keep active, you know. And so what's your
I appreciate Eric Zuli, because when I talked to him, I got really excited, and I thought, this is something I'd like to work with. So,
what's your experience been like doing it the easy way, Jeff?
What's my experience with what?
But what's your experience been like doing it the easy way?
Well, okay, I like to work for a week and brag for a month. So, yeah, that would be the easy way at this point. I mean, there was a time when I was doing 200-300 concerts a year for like 10 straight years all over the world, five continents, everywhere, just going and going and going. And now it's like, yeah, I'll do it, but let's kind of, you know, let's make sure that I'm really into this and I don't just go like I used to. I want to know exactly what I'm doing and who I'm doing it with and what I'm doing it for. And so, yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, Jeff, we're out of time, but people can reach you on Facebook, Jeff Fenholt?
Or Fenholt, F like fun, E-N-H-O-L-T, at gmail.com. That's Fenholt, F like fun, E-N-H-O-L-T, at gmail.com. And it's funny how many people from the past look me up. I think it's great.
Jeff, I mentioned Easy Way, not E-A-S-Y, your relationship with doing it Eric's brand way, you know, his E-Z way.
Working with Eric. How's it been working with Eric?
What's your experience been like
doing it? I just started doing things with Eric, but I find him to be an incredible young man with incredible vision. He's a great personality. His voice alone on the air is very, I don't know if you'd say commercial or what, but he's got a lot of talent, he's got a lot of vision, but the thing I really admire most is he gets a vision and then he goes and does it. And so many people are not self-starters, you know. They get a vision, and then, look at the politics now. Every time Washington wants to do something, they set up 22 committees with 250 people and make a 10-point plan and then don't do anything.
Do me a favor, Jeff, if you have a chance to talk to Eric again, I know you'd be talking to him, tell him to take a break once in a while because he works like 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. Maybe you can take him out.
I'm not going to do that, man, because he's young. And
yeah, exactly. He's still young.
This is his time, and this is his time to do it. And you're in
there.
Jim, you just can't keep up with him. You need to slow down. You can't keep up with
Eric.
Yeah, Jim, you're just worried about him because he's your kid, but he's on track, man, I tell you.
Well,
Jeff,
really are out of time, Jeff. We thank you so much for being with us today. I really look forward to meeting you in person after seeing you and listening to you over the years. Thank you so much for joining us again today, and God bless.
God bless you guys.
Thank you much, Jeff.
Have a good one.
Let's have you on again.
Yeah, I'll be on tomorrow, too.
All right.
Oh,
I'm kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
Take care of that back, Jeff.
Oh, man, thanks. No more soccer.
No more soccer.
Jeez.
Well, Reefer, that's an example, right? We talked about that.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, like I said, Jeff and I, my life has kind of paralleled each other. We're still going strong, but we have to recognize our limitations. But we really are out of time, Jim. I have got to go as usual. I have got auditions and stuff today. It's been great. I want to remind everybody that I am speaking at a women's conference at the end of the month. If you go on Baby Boomers Live on Facebook, you can get the information. I'm doing a play November 6th and 7th called Angry Insecure Men about it's to show the ills of domestic violence. And I'm busy. Eric's busy. You're busy. We all can be reached on Facebook, easywaybroadcasting.com. Baby Boomers Live on Facebook, Aretha Gray on Facebook, and one of these days, Jim, we're going to get you straight, and you're going to pay attention to your Facebook page, too. too.
Yeah, I got to really catch up. I had a lot of nice, birthday wishes and everything, and I really have to catch up on that. But thanks, everybody, for being on, and we will be tune in with us, Aretha and I, next week and get more tips on how to get by as a baby boomer.
Yep. See you next Monday.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Baby Boomers Live with your host, Aretha Gray, star Betty White's Out There Rockers, and Easy's dad, Jim Zulli. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and keep up with us at babyboomerslive.info. Baby Boomers Live, brought to you by EasyWayBroadcasting.com on Blog Talk Radio.